Hello and welcome to Love Thy Lawyer, where we talk to real lawyers about their lives in and out of the practice of law, how they got to be lawyers, and what their experience has been. I'm Lewis Goodman, the host of the show, and yes, I'm a lawyer. Nobody's perfect.
Tamisa Hockenhull serves as an Alameda County Court Commissioner, but not for long. Tamisa is running unopposed for an open seat on the Alameda County Superior Court bench. Before taking the bench in 2016, Commissioner Hockenhull's law practice included civil litigation, estate planning, family law, and criminal defense. She served on the Board of Parole Hearings, the Fair Employment and Housing Commission, and taught at the University of California Hastings College of Law. Her Daily Journal bar profile is entitled Her Best Self. Tamisa Hockenhull, welcome to the Alameda County Bar Association and the Love Thy Lawyer podcast.
Thank you for having me, Lewis. I'm very happy to be here.
It's an honor to have you. You're going to be one of our newest judges among a new crop that's going to be coming in January. And right now you're, as we discussed, sitting as a commissioner. Where are you speaking to us from right this minute?
Well, right this minute, I'm speaking to you from my home, where I actually am presiding over a court from my home remotely as a result of COVID.
What court are you sitting in?
I'm sitting at the Wiley Manuel Courthouse in Oakland.
What's your assignment?
My current assignment is traffic.
How's that going?
It's going well. You know, I like the fact that people can appear remotely. People are appearing from their homes, their places of work, parks, their cars parked alongside somewhere. They're appearing from everywhere. And I think that's really great. I think it improves access to justice. But I will say coordinating it all, managing it all can be quite challenging, but I actually think it's worth it. So it's a lot of work, but it's good.
Do you think going forward, as we start coming out of COVID, seems that we're coming out of COVID, that the courts are going to continue using blue jeans and video conferencing, even without the COVID hammer hanging over all our heads?
Well, I think we're hoping that we'll be able to keep some aspects of remote hearings. But to be very honest with you, it'll depend on the legislature.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from right here. Actually, I was born in Hayward, Kaiser Hospital in Hayward. So I am a Bay Area woman through and through.
Somehow Hayward always comes into play.
Yeah, yeah. And I currently live in Hayward as well. So kind of full circle. But I began school on the island of Guam.
Really?
So, yes.
Is that where you went to high school?
Oh, no, no. That's just actually where I went to. I began elementary school.
And why were you in Guam?
Because my dad was a naval lieutenant, and we were there for 2 years.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to James Logan High School in Union City.
What was that experience like?
It was great.
What did you do there?
Let's see. I did everything I could. So James Logan High School, at the time I went in the late 80s, I graduated in 89. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. It was a very multicultural experience, a very diverse experience. And I got involved in everything. I was in the honors and AP classes, but I also matriculated with all the other students and I ran track. I did the hurdles. I was in musicals. I actually was one of the charter members or starting members of the James Logan speech and debate or forensics team that began while I was there. I think it began the year of 88 to 89 with Dr. Tommy Lindsay. And so it was awesome. I don't think you could have a more fun time in high school than was offered to us at that time.
When you graduated from Logan, where did you go to college?
I went to UC Berkeley.
And what was that experience like?
It was even better. I say it was better because I actually think it was my first real opportunity at independence. My parents, particularly my mother, were, I don't want to say strict, but much was required. And so I pretty much had to toe the line, do what was expected of me. And I think I did the same in college, but it was also just, I was on my own. I felt more on my own, and I felt like the decisions were really up to me. And I actually really enjoyed Cal Berkeley. I felt like I got a fine education there. I really enjoyed my time at Berkeley. I even did a musical there, West Side Story.
Oh, well. I hope you're not judging the one that's now on Netflix too critically.
No, I haven't even checked it out because I really love the original. I haven't checked out the new one yet.
Now, at some point you decided to go to law school. Where did you go to law school?
I went to law school at Golden Gate University School of Law.
Did you go directly to law school or did you take some time off between college and law school?
Well, I attempted to go directly. I did not originally apply to Golden Gate. I actually applied all over and ended up at Howard Law School in DC, which is, you know, a predominantly African-American school of law.
Historically black college.
Thank you. Historically black college. And that was quite an experience. And I have to say, coming from UC Berkeley and then going to an historically black school, you know, college, I was amazed at people came from, you know, Stanford, Harvard, Yale, all the you know, different colleges, including the Ivy League schools, and intentionally came to Howard because of the history of Howard Law School.
I want to back up just a minute and ask you, when did you first start thinking about being a lawyer?
Oh, wow. I have thought about it probably since I was, probably since I was a kid. And I'll explain why.
Yeah.
But I was actually in a pretty bad accident, terrible car accident not with my mother. We were at my brother and I were actually visiting my dad, who was stationed in South Carolina. And unfortunately, my mother got this call, the call no parent wants to get, and immediately flew out to us. But the result of that was there was a case. And so I actually was in a courtroom in South Carolina before a jury testifying as a child. Probably at the age of, I think I was 10 or 11. And so I think that's when I really started thinking about it. I didn't know at the time I was a child. So I didn't know that some of our records have been lost or that the attorney in South Carolina did not have all of our medical records. He didn't have everything he needed. And so his angle was more of an emotional story, trying to talk about these kids who were in, you know, and I remember as an 11-year-old sitting there going, I don't think this is the right way to go. This is not persuasive. This is what I'm thinking as a child in this courtroom, watching the faces of the jurors and just not feeling like we're bringing our strongest. So that's probably when I decided.
So basically at the age of 11, you were involved in litigation and testimony. And as a result of that experience, you felt that you could do a better job than the attorneys who were actually in court on your behalf. So you decided going to law school would be a good idea.
Yes, I believe it truly made an impression on me. Yes.
So you said that you went to Golden Gate, correct?
Yes, yes.
But before you went to Golden Gate, you went to Howard.
Right.
So did you, so how did that go? I mean, you went to Howard and then.
Yeah. So I went to Howard, and to be honest with you, I don't think I really wanted to go to school out of state. I mean, it was a good experience. I learned a lot, met really great people. I even worked at a law firm called Hogan and Hartson in DC. You know, it was a good experience, but it's not really what I wanted. And so I ultimately came back to California where I'm from and reapplied. And so I picked Golden Gate with the intent of beginning full time. If I had to drop down part time, I would do that. But I was going to begin and finish, see it through.
How much time did you spend at Golden Gate?
I only spent 2.5 years there.
Wow.
Turns out I was very capable of juggling being the parent of a young child and then a new wife and all the things that go with all of that and doing my law school work. I really enjoyed law school. I really enjoyed Golden Gate. I actually felt like Golden Gate gave me an excellent education, prepared me to practice law.
At some point, you did some work for some other people, but then you opened your own law practice.
I kind of inched out into opening my own practice. When I left the city attorney's office, I just started teaching at Hastings. I was on the board for the Fair Employment and Housing Commission. I was on that commission. So I was kind of easing out because I was nervous about starting my own practice. But I finally took the big leap and did it. And I'm really glad I did because it did give me more, frankly, more of a balance. I felt like I was able to be a more present parent, could control my calendar more. I was actually able to go to some of their games and events. So it worked for me. I would say financially, I wasn't in it to make a lot of money. I was in it to help people, hopefully be able to keep us afloat. But I definitely wasn't, the focus wasn't the money. The focus was the balance for me.
I personally think that any attorney who goes into it for the money is making a big mistake.
Yeah.
No, really. No matter what sort of practice, I mean, even the people who've made really big money, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, some of these superstar personal injury attorneys, what do they do with it? They end up plowing it right back into the firm, right back into the next case. Right. And in order to get a multi-million-dollar verdict or a multi-million-dollar settlement, you end up spending several million dollars invested in the case in order to prepare it.
Right, right.
So,
I agree.
Yeah, I think what you say makes sense, and I think that to some extent, all of us who practice law have had some sort of a calling to it, as opposed to just simply, I need a job.
Right. And I'll be honest, my mother and I had a conversation probably when I was in college, when I was very clear that I was going to go to law school. And at this point, I had started studying Thurgood Marshall and Charles Hamilton Houston. You know, I started looking at, you know, the legacy and how I wanted to be a part of it. And I remember having this conversation with her. I said, you know, I just really want to help people. And you have to keep in mind, my mom is a school teacher. She taught in Guam. She taught in Oakland. She's taught in the Bay Area. My dad was in the military. These are public service positions. So I come from that. And I even sat in the back of my mom's classroom as a kid when I was out of school. She brought me to work with her. And so I've always just wanted to help people. And I think along with trying to find a work-life balance in my own life, personal life, you know, part of my career has been about how can I help? How can I make it better? And that's why, again, I think the money wasn't a focus.
What do you think's the best advice that you've ever received? And then what's the flip side of that? What advice would you give to a young person just starting out in a legal career?
Okay. The best advice I got, and it was really interesting because it was from a professor. And so the advice she gave me was, you need to treat this like a job. Just like the other mothers are dropping their kids off and going to work, so are you. You know, drop your daughter off, you know, put in 8 hours like it's a job, even though your classes are over at 2. Stay, you know, study, read, do your briefs and all of that, and then go pick her up. And, you know, and funny enough, my daughter preferred that because she actually used to tantrum when I would pick her up because she wanted to stay.
So you both stayed and it worked out for both of you. And what advice would you give to a young person starting a legal career?
My recommendation would be if they have any interest at all in becoming a really good trial attorney, my recommendation would be to begin their career in either the public defender or district attorney's office.
Now, you are currently sitting as a commissioner and going to be a judge very soon. I mean, to me, they're very closely related fields. When did you start thinking of that as a career move?
I'll be honest, Lewis, I always knew I wanted to be a judge. I knew I wanted to be a lawyer, and I knew I wanted to be a judge. And the influence of that was Thurgood Marshall, to be honest, because I studied his cases. There was always an influence there. If anyone went back and looked at what I did in college or things I wrote as I was graduating, I wrote that I wanted to be an attorney and a judge way back when.
So once
as I started to hit that 10-year mark and so forth, I started paying attention. I started talking to judges who had been mentoring me about their work. But one thing that began to ring clear, I remember going at the juvenile justice center in San Leandro. I was appearing for before a judge there. And I actually remember talking to that judge at some point about the fact that I wanted to become a judge or judicial officer. And he was so supportive. He was like, you absolutely should. And in fact, that same judge, I've been an administrative law judge. And I mentioned to him, I used him as a reference. He was like, that's fine. But when are you going to become a judge? When are you going to do that? When I used him as a reference to become a commissioner, he was like, that's great. I'll support you. But when are you going to become a judge?
Well, now you have an answer to that question.
I do. I do. And he knows. That particular judge knows. He's retired, but he knows.
Do you think the legal system is fair?
That's a tough question. It's tough. It could be fair if if we could level the playing field. I do have a concern that there are laws written with bias, and then they're also applied differently. So such a loaded question, Lewis. I don't know. But I think each one of us can do our part to try to make it more fair.
I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. What's your family life been like? You've touched on it, but how is practicing law and being a judicial officer fit into being a mother and a wife and a parent?
And now a grandmother.
Wow.
Yes, I'm a grandmother.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm a grandmother of a four-year-old little girl who's the spitting image of my daughter, and a one-year-old little boy who I would love to say is a spitting image of me, but he's not. But no, two beautiful children that make me think a lot of my kids, my two eldest ones when they were young. And I actually also have a third child, the only one who's home with me now, who just turned 10. So I have a very full family life, very full, to the point where I think sometimes they are a bit jealous of the fact that I've got to work.
How about travel experience? Any place you've been that you've enjoyed?
Yeah. Love to travel. Love it. And I think it probably because having been a Navy brat, been all over. So when we were in Guam, we used to vacation in Hawaii. So I've probably been to Hawaii more times than most people. Love visiting Europe. I loved Paris. Let's see, where else? Oh, been to South Africa. Did a cruise in 2017. Where I was off the coast of South Africa and got to see Egypt and really enjoyed Johannesburg, and seeing all the different things about Nelson Mandela. So I love to travel. Both my parents love to travel. And so that was kind of one of the deals my husband with marrying me. We actually got married in Maui, and he was kind of like, you know, he didn't come from sort of this traveling family. So he's from Berkeley. So he's had to adjust to, we like to travel.
Let's say you came into some real money, $3 or $4 billion.
Ooh.
Yeah. What if a billion
oh,
with a
wow.
B. What if anything would you do differently with your life?
Wow. I'm going to tell you, even though I feel like my work is aging me a little bit because it's a lot, you know, it's a lot. I love it. I love the work I do. So I think I would still work, but I would try to create things that I think I would want there to be more of. For example, I mentioned I have a son with autism. So I could see wanting to start some type of nonprofit that supports young people with autism, and what can we do? You know, what more can we do? When I was at the Board of Parole hearings before I became a commissioner, as an administrative law judge there, I saw how a number of nonprofit, the way rehabilitation happens is because there's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of volunteers who go into the prisons and provide opportunities for rehabilitation. And so I would probably want to increase programs or create programs that assist in rehabilitating those in prison, because it matters. It's so important. And a lot of it is, we rely on these agencies and nonprofits to do it, to do the real heavy lifting.
If you had a magic wand, there was one thing in the world that you could change, the legal world or the world in general, What would that be?
A lot of about our the way our country and our laws and everything have come about. It was built on this caste or race system. And if I could remove all of that with one wave of my magic wand, I would.
Let's say you had 60 seconds on the Super Bowl. Somebody gave you a 60-second ad on the Super Bowl. What message would you want to put out to the world?
Live each day to its fullest. And the other would be help someone.
Stacy Guillory, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Do you have a question or a comment for Judge Hockenhull?
Sure. I'm actually really curious. And thank you so much. This has been a wonderful program. It's really nice to kind of get to know our judicial offices a little bit better. But I'm actually really curious. I know that you said that you really wanted to be a judge and you knew that for a long time. Curious as to why you decided to go the ALJ and then also commissioner route, if you can explain that.
Sure. Thank you for that question. I think I was, so what, and it's relevant in the sense that I've had an application, a judicial application in probably since whenever Brown took office, Jerry Brown took office. So in essence, I've had a judicial application in for practically 10 years. So first for both of the Brown administrations, meaning, you know, and now with our current governor. Okay. And so as I was, you know, I keep updating and sending it in so forth, and I probably didn't do it all the best way, meaning I didn't always update maybe when I should have and all of that. So part of my career has been trying to gain experience to hopefully one day qualify me to become a judge. And so what I mean, let me explain what I mean by that. One of the first things I did, even before becoming an administrative law judge, was I was a judge pro tem. And I was a judge pro tem for Alameda County Superior Court, as well as San Francisco Superior Court. I was actually sworn in and participated beginning in 2014. And of course, I had a judicial application in, but I didn't really know what judging or being a judicial officer was all about, really, until then. And I did it for free. And I did it every Monday and Friday I was available, to the point where my mother was like, are you getting paid for this? No. Well, maybe you should just limit it to like maybe a couple times a month. I was like, I had the bug. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I loved it because it was hard, because I had to make a decision. I didn't always felt like I did it perfectly or right, but it was such a challenge for me, an enjoyable challenge. And so that's when it really solidified for me that I wanted to become a judge, even though I had in the back of my mind as a young person, I think I want to do this, but that's what really did it. In fact, I had this daydream, especially when I was in Alameda County Superior Court, that maybe a commissioner would suddenly retire. And then they would walk into the courtroom while I was finishing up and say, hey, you, Tamisa Hockenhull, can you take over?
Thank you. Thanks, Stacy.
My name is Brenda Sands.
Hello, Brenda. Welcome.
Yes. And Ms. Hockenhull knows me. She's going to be Judge Hockenhull. I knew her as Commissioner Hockenhull from the DOC program, Day of Court, as the mediator.
Yes.
So I want to get to know her more because I miss her. I have to be a mediator with her.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I miss you as well. I enjoyed that assignment. That was small claims and civil harassment assignment. Yes.
Yes. Yes. We do miss you and we wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good.
Yes. Thank you, Brenda Sands.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Well, Judge, I know that you have another meeting that you have to get to. So let me say, Commissioner, soon to be Judge, Tamisa Hockenhull, on behalf of the Alameda County Bar Association and the Love Thy Lawyer podcast, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's it for today's episode of Love Thy Lawyer. If you enjoyed listening, please share it with a friend and follow the podcast. If you have comments or suggestions, send me an email. Take a look at our website at lovethylawyer.com, where you can find all of our episodes, transcripts, photographs, and information. Thanks to my guests and to Joel Katz for music, Brian Matheson for technical support, Paul Roberts for social media, and Tracy Harvey. I'm Lewis Goodman.
I actually call myself sort of an island girl. I love to vacation on islands or coastal places.